We're going to get started in just a minute, but before we do, I want to talk to you about Anchor by Spotify. It is the easiest way to make a podcast with everything you need all in one place. Let me explain. Anchor has tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. When hosting on Anchor, you can distribute your podcast on listening platforms like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. And best of all, Anchor is totally free. This is what I use for my podcast, and it is fantastic. Download the Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Welcome to the March or Die show today. Again, very great to have you with me. Excited about really the topic that we're going to discuss today, an important topic as we break down something that I think a lot of us have thought about, we've considered, but we may or may not connect to in a very real way. We're going to talk about character today. What it is, maybe what it is not. I think there's some misunderstanding even about what it might be. And how we can become people of character. And we talk about this a lot in our Mighty Oaks programs and with a lot of the work that we do with veterans and service members. So we're going to talk about character today, and I believe this will be a very helpful conversation for you. But before we jump in, if you are listening to the podcast version of this but not watching on YouTube, that's great. No problem, but make sure you're subscribed. I want to make sure that you get this content as soon as it comes out. The best way to do that is to subscribe to whatever podcast platform it is you're listening from. We all have different things we like to listen to. Make sure you're subscribed. You'll get this as soon as it comes out. And then when you get a chance, go over to YouTube. You can find my channel there. You can look for Jeremy Stalling or just search my name. You'll find my channel. Hit subscribe, then hit the notification bell. You'll get this content, meaning the March or Die show and other videos as they come out as well. I'd love to share that with you. Please take some time to look at that. And if you'd like to find my blog, learn more about me, figure out where to connect with me on social media, etc., you can go to jeremystalnaker.com. I use my name because it's the one thing I will not forget is my name. I forget just about everything else, but I won't forget my name. So jeremystalnaker.com, you can find just about everything you'd like to know about me and more, but also the blog is there. That's why I write about a lot of these topics, and I hope that that will be a help and a blessing and an encouragement to you. My guest today, very excited to have with me, Luis Rivera. Luis is not a stranger to most of you, perhaps. If you listen to this show, you've probably listened to the Mighty Oak show and some of the other content that we have produced. Maybe you've heard Luis's testimony before. But Luis is very involved with our organization, of course, and oversees many aspects of our programming, but has a great background that's led to that. And so today, as we discuss character, I wanted to bring Luis in and just get his perspectives and thought on that. But for those that don't know you, and there probably are a few of them out there, everywhere I go, people know you. I told you the other day, I got on a phone call with someone I had never met before, and they said, "Do you know Luis Rivera?" They actually said, "Do you know Luis Rivera?" Yeah. But they met you, and I knew who they were talking about. Tell us about your career a little bit and kind of your journey to where you are right now.
Yeah, so I actually was born in Puerto Rico, raised in Southeast Louisiana until I was 17.
It's basically the same, Puerto Rico and Louisiana.
Man, the food is just so great in both
exactly
places.
Exactly the same.
Yeah. 17, joined the Navy, started off fast attack submarines, and then did that for 10 years, and then went to BUDS in 2000. And became a SEAL and retired in 2015 March.
Yeah, I've known a few submariners.
Mm-hmm.
It's an interesting group of people.
Very interesting. Very creative.
Yeah.
Group of people.
Yeah.
And have to make a lot of stuff up down there for a long time. So,
what's the longest you're ever underwater?
I think the longest, just over. You mean without even coming up, right?
Without coming up.
Because I was on a fast attack submarines, we come up often.
Okay.
So I would say almost a month.
Just a month.
Yeah. Because of the things we were doing at the time.
Yeah.
And I think nowadays it's a little different, but we weren't part of a battle group. That probably doesn't mean anything to you. So we did our own thing.
I don't know much about the Navy. I try to know as little as possible.
Yeah, we did our own thing often. We hit a lot of ports. But when we were on station and we bring on some people, then that's when we do our real, we have to be quiet and you know, those kinds of things. So,
a month.
Yeah, almost, yeah.
But like a nuclear sub can stay underwater for forever, indefinitely. Like some of the bigger submarines can.
The limiting factor would be food.
How long would a crew on a big submarine be underwater?
The word that I heard.
I'm not asking for any confidential information.
Right, right. The word that I heard was about, you know, 3 months poking holes in the ocean.
3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you do when you're not working if you're under the water for 3 months?
Well, you are working.
The whole time.
Yeah, yeah. So when I was on, our days became 18 hours instead of 24. You're on for six, off for 12, and there's a lot of maintenance and drills and things that happen.
That's unbelievable.
It's a lot of stuff that happened. I mean, that when I was a coner, I was on the forward end of the submarine. I was a radioman. Then there's guys who are on the aft end of the submarine, nuclear trained and big brains. And, man, those guys, I don't think get any sleep.
That's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. So you did that for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then decided one day you wanted to get off the submarines and
do
something completely different.
Do something completely different. Still a small community.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, this is something I think I can do. Now, I will have to say that somewhere in between my two submarines that I was on, I tried Buds out once and I quit. Then I went back to another submarine for another 4.5 years. And then I was much older when I went back and tried out for Buds.
There's two things that are a little bit unusual with that. One is going back a second time. That really doesn't happen very often, right?
Nowadays, I don't think so because of the contract that you go in with.
And if you can't fulfill that, you can't finish Buds, you just go on to do something else.
Needs in the Navy.
So that's one thing that's pretty unusual is that you went back a second time. What was the period of time between the first and the second time?
Almost 5 years.
5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second thing is just your age. How old were you when you went back the second time?
27. I turned 28 in Hell Week.
And most students at Buds would be 18, 19 years old?
Yeah, I think the average age is 22, 21 maybe.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah.
So what drove you to work that hard to accomplish that? I mean, was there something you were trying to prove? Was there something you just had always wanted to be a Navy SEAL? What was it that motivated you to go through all that?
A lot of selfish ambition, I think.
What do you mean selfish ambition?
Things I wanted to accomplish for myself because at the time, I had a family.
The first time or the second time?
The second time.
Yeah.
I had a family, but I think a lot of getting right into the topic we're getting into, a lot of selfish things that I had going on in my life. I wanted to prove something to myself. I was actually, a lot of people don't know this, but I was going through a divorce.
While I was at Buds the second time,
yeah. A lot of people don't know this, but while I was at Buds, my father passed away. I didn't really want to tell anyone because it was after Hell Week, and I didn't want to get held back anymore. Because I already held, was that the second time I went through, I was held back the first time.
Yeah.
Going through Hell Week because I was injured. There was a lot going on. But I was determined. Some wanted to prove to myself. I think because of a lot of things that were going on in my life, it helped me just to focus on this one thing to get done.
Was it an escape? I mean, you thought, well, if I can just focus on this one thing, I don't have to deal with the divorce and the other stuff going on in my life?
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of pressure from other things other than Buds.
Yeah.
I think really helped me focus on
on
the task at hand.
That's unbelievable. And you picked up a really neat nickname while you're at Buds?
Mom.
Mom.
Yeah.
Because you're older brother, right?
I think so.
And because you're kind of a mom.
Yeah, I was
you're kind of mothering.
Mother hen, come under my wings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was the transition between you did become a SEAL. You served in the SEAL community for 12 years, 15 years?
14.
14 years. I kept guessing I would have gotten it eventually.
Yeah.
Served in Iraq, mm-hmm. a bunch of other places, did a lot of other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually retired out of the Navy.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a transition. And I think this is important because if we don't have the character, those pieces put together before major life transitions happen, then we're going to find ourselves in a place we didn't anticipate.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to put words in your mouth, but knowing your story, I think that's part of it. You didn't have all these pieces put together.
Mm-hmm.
You transitioned out of the Navy. eventually ended up in one of our programs, the Mighty Oaks programs. Mm-hmm. You know, for those that aren't familiar with Mighty Oaks, it's, you know, our day job, both of us. That's mm-hmm. where we work, working with veterans and working with active duty service members and first responders. Mm-hmm. Found yourself at one of those programs after a great career in the United States military. Mm-hmm. Can you kind of talk about that transition, mm-hmm. How you ended up at Mighty Oaks and what it was that you found there that changed your heart and mind? You're already a Christian before you went. Mm-hmm. So talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, I would say that while I was in, I was a Christian that sort of just dabbled with my faith, which I think helped me out a lot doing my job. But there was something there that I didn't realize I should
have. Being a Christian helped you a lot?
I think so.
Yeah, not the dabbling part.
No, no.
But having some connection to faith.
That's right.
Right.
Right. It helped me put things in perspective. It helped me to look at people in a certain way and really helped me have patience.
Right.
Having done all that and then getting out, there was this sort of transition that I think I wasn't aware I was going through, because I now had to deal with my family apart from the military.
Right.
And this military gave me something to focus on.
Right.
And with these intentions I had after getting out, I wanted, man, I'm not going to not do anything with my hands. I got to do it. So I wanted to go learn a new trade. And I went down that path. And something happened with my oldest daughter, my family, that really stopped my whole life. Mm. And all that I've learned, all the experience I've had, all the success that I've had, all the things that I've accomplished, somehow I found myself in a place where I thought that I couldn't reach out to anybody. I found my place in a place where I thought that I'm the one who has to fix this. I have to handle this on my own.
Right.
This is my doing.
Right.
I need to
right.
deal with this. And that left me in a place of really despair. It left me in a place of really thinking that, and plus I got to say, I mean, there was some shame on my part because of the things that were happening. I know that it was because of decisions I made long before. And man, it put me in a really dark place.
Yeah.
And so my wife saw it. We were already having issues. My kids were just having a difficult time dealing with me. And I thought, because I was presented with this opportunity at Mighty Oaks, why not? And so I went to Mighty Oaks.
Because you just didn't know where else to go.
I didn't know.
Yeah.
Someone actually, and you know Matt.
Yeah.
Matt Height. He didn't know me from Adam.
Yeah.
And he just reached out to me and said, "Listen, I don't know you, but."
How did he know you were struggling, or how did he connect to you?
Chad actually reached out to him.
Okay.
Chad knew that he was a SEAL, and and so
yeah,
just before Matt called me, I had turned off. I didn't want to go to Mighty Oaks because I had filled out an application 3 months prior.
Right.
And during those 3 months, I put myself through a lot of treatment. Mm. Psychologists, psychiatrists, underwater massage therapy. I went to just different places that I thought I could use some help.
Right.
And I did all that in a minute. Right. And I was actually feeling really good.
Yeah.
I thought, man, I'm doing a lot better. So, you know what? I don't want to take a billet from someone who truly needs it.
Right.
So I called Brandon Kunith up. I said, I don't want to take anything away. Just give it away.
Yeah.
And so he informed Chad. Chad reached out. Oh, plus I got to say, my wife, once she learned that I turned it off, she reached out to the world. She looked me in the eye. She goes, "You don't understand. You have a problem.
You're not doing better."
That's right.
Yeah.
And I thought I was.
Right.
So Matt reached out to me. He says, "Listen, you need to go to this program."
What were a few of the things that you learned during that time that, you know, again, kind of changed your perspective or your mind on where you were as opposed to where you thought you were, and then even looking forward to where you potentially could end up? I mean, what was it that kind of changed that for you? What was the key that unlocked that for you?
I think it was a couple of things. Probably the most significant thing that started everything off was being exposed to men who were solid in their walk,
right,
solid in their faith,
right,
that experience a lot of the same things that I had experienced, but look to something outside of themselves for an answer.
Right.
That was one of the first things. And then
just the authenticity of faith.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The authenticity of faith and what that looked like in their lives.
Right.
And that's something that I was really missing. And when I said that I was just dabbling, that's what I was doing. Mm. Getting back to character, which really in the real world, what that looked like, I was one way at work and I was somebody completely different at home.
Yeah.
And really my character took a hit with that.
Right. So understanding all of that, obviously a lot has changed in your life. And since then, you've made some incredible steps forward, healed some of the relationships in your life, mm-hmm. some of the broken relationships in your life. You oversee so many aspects of our programs, helping other men and women come through the program and mm-hmm. learn and understand. So a lot has changed. And for me, looking back over 11 years or 10 or 11 years of being exposed to what we teach to veterans and how we try to help people who are struggling, I've been able over that time to look back and understand principles better, perhaps, than I did on the front end. You know, mm-hmm. as you talk to people and you're exposed to it. And one of those principles or one of those aspects is character, as you mentioned, and just understanding the importance of character. And as you speak to folks and you try to help people, realizing that the problem you're having, the struggle you're having, maybe it's not everyone else in the world. Maybe it's not your past or something that happened to you. Maybe it's not how you've been treated. Perhaps it's that you've never focused on developing internally, personally, the character that you need mm-hmm. to carry you forward in a good way. Mm-hmm. But when people talk about character, they mean different things, and it can become very, kind of gray area, right? Mm-hmm. Like, yep. Whatever it means to you, that's what it means. Mm-hmm. When you talk about character and think about character, how do you think about that? Or how would you define it if you could define it?
Yeah. So I would say prior to me knowing what character is now, I would say that a standard answer would be character is what people view as my reputation.
Okay.
This is who I am. This is what I've accomplished.
Right.
This is what people see on the surface.
So you would define character prior to the last couple of years, mm-hmm. several years, mm-hmm. As what other people perceive you to be.
That's right.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's how I viewed character.
And so then if that's how you view character, then the whole goal is to make it so that people see what you want them to see.
That's right. Yeah.
It doesn't matter what's actually happening, what's going on in your life. It's what they actually see, which then can take you to that place where you're like, I'm alone. I have no one to reach out to
because
I don't want to expose myself.
That's right. Because I don't want this chink in my armor. I don't want to mess up this view of myself.
Right. So how has that changed? If it's changed. If it hasn't changed, it's going to be a long podcast.
It has changed. The truth about character, and I'm thinking about what the Bible says about character with regards to what Paul says in Romans about character, it actually starts off with suffering. It actually starts off with some sort of trial that you're going through that produces some sort of patience.
Right.
That produces character. Now, that word character right there that Paul talks about has to do with something proven because of what you've gone through. So it has to do with something in your heart.
Yeah.
It has to do with something that no one really probably knows other than God himself.
Interesting. So on the other side of that, there is struggle, suffering, approving that happens.
Mm-hmm.
And in that builds character.
That's right.
What is that character that it's building? What is it doing? What does that become then?
Then on the other side of that, it eventually, what the Bible says, becomes hope. Because my hope doesn't lie on what I can do, but what God has already done.
So it's the shifting from what you previously viewed as an external mm-hmm. character is what people see mm-hmm. to becoming completely internal. Mm-hmm. Character is who I actually am.
That's right. Yeah.
That's the difference. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think if you understand that, you also realize eventually that what people see should be a reflection of who you are.
That's right.
Not just something you put up.
That's right. Because with what you just explained, it doesn't matter who sees me? It doesn't matter whether I'm at work or at home. I'm the same person.
Yeah. Character is, some have said, it's the ability to do what's right even when no one else is watching. But I think that speaks to, it has nothing to do with how I'm perceived. Mm-hmm. It has to do with how I am on the inside.
That's right.
Now talk about the importance of trial, mm-hmm. and difficulty, and how that produces character. What does that look like?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of ways you can look at it. If I look at some trial that produces some kind of victimhood inside of me, mm-hmm. that's going to lead me somewhere. And that's going to cause me to not really face the issue head on because, woe is me, I should not be going through this. Don't you know what I've accomplished? I deserve better. Instead of the reality is, man, the sun shines on everybody. Life is hard. Who am I going to go to for answers?
Right.
Who am I going to go to for hope moving forward? Am I going to try to take care of this on my own? Or am I going to go to a brother that's going to speak truth to me? That's going to call me out on my junk.
Yeah.
That's going to really point me to truth.
Right.
Instead of other things like, well, let's go somewhere and make you feel better.
And so if I'm understanding what you're saying right, and I think if I understand that passage right, it's the trying of your faith. It is that difficulty, we could say it's suffering, mm-hmm. it's the pain mm-hmm. that comes to all of us that puts all of us in a position where we go one of two directions. Mm-hmm. We either become a victim, as you said, mm-hmm. and we blame other people. We see this in relationships where we blame a spouse, or we could blame our children. We could blame an employer. We could blame the government. I am in this position because of what someone else has done to me. I can become that if I want to.
Right.
Or I can allow the pain and the difficulty, the suffering to refine me, to reveal that I can't do it on my own. I'm going to take responsibility for the parts that I can be responsible for, mm-hmm. but I'm also going to have faith in God, who has a plan for my life, reach out to others who can help me to move forward in spite of this difficulty. And that really is its growth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. Because I come from, then I move from this place of woe is me. Really, God is no one in my life. Okay. I believe that the Bible says something about him.
Yeah.
To this place of, wow, God really has everything to do with my life.
Yeah.
Even the trials in my life. Because on the back end of those trials, on the other side of those trials, there is true hope. Because this is not the end.
Right.
There's going to be more suffering coming.
Right. Right.
So not only that, I'm also moved. I have compassion to help somebody else out who is in a hurting situation.
Yeah.
And I don't have to rely on my own wisdom. There is wisdom to be had through the Bible.
Yeah, that's good. And then the ability to look at life and say, I'm going to do the right thing, regardless of how people perceive me or mm-hmm. how I feel about it. Mm-hmm. It's having that perspective. It's understanding that, as you mentioned, it rains on the just and the unjust. Mm-hmm. It's, mm-hmm. you know, there is good and bad in life. There are ups and downs in life. This is life. Mm-hmm. So I'm not knocked down just because an obstacle or a difficulty or a trial comes into my life. Mm-hmm. I realize, well, that's because that's what living looks like. Right. There are difficult times in life. And so instead of being knocked down or pushed aside or starting to question my faith, those are times where I put my head down and I say, well, what I'm going to focus on then is doing exactly what God has called me to do. Mm. I'm going to continue to do the right thing in spite of what else may be going on in my life. And that really is character.
I agree. I would also say that when I got out of the military, my last mission in the military was not, in my mind, a very successful thing. Mm. There were 9 men that died on that mission. And the time immediately after that, it was a lot of superficial things that were going on in my head. But once I got the opportunity just to let dust settle and really a good 4 years went by.
Yeah.
And then I got a lot of time to think. I got a lot of time to just try to reflect. And I found myself really depressed thinking about that situation. Add to that what my daughter was going through. Add to that what my wife and I were going through really put a lot of weight on me. And it really almost kept me in this place of like bondage where I thought I can take care of this. I can deal with this on my own. Not realizing that I needed to really reach out to people to get a good perspective of what's happened. Something really bad, gain some knowledge about who I am inside and how I am to deal with this situation. And all of that is really rooted in scripture. All of that is really rooted in reaching out to my fellow men, which a lot of guys don't want to do.
Right. Would you say then with all of that, that character, if you could boil it down, is really being, I don't know if hyper focused or what the phrase would be, but focused on a character is being focused on living the way that God wants me to live. It's doing what God created me to do. So character is I'm going to pursue God regardless of what else may be going on in my life. Does that sum up character?
Yes, because now that I'm looking at life, now that a lot of things I'm still dealing with, but if I have some sort of pre-decision based off what I am exposed to, I know that those pre-decisions are rooted in what the Bible says. And so whenever those are off, then there's something inside me that's going to say, hey, that's not right.
Yeah.
And I've built this network around myself of people who look to the Bible to know what's right moving forward. So, yeah, absolutely a predecision to do what's right, but that predecision is rooted in God's word.
And it's, you know, practically speaking, I think it's in a marriage situation to have character as a husband means regardless of what may be going on in my family environment, it could be a financial difficulty, a health difficulty, maybe my wife's mad at me, whatever. None of those things matter in terms of what I'm going to do. Now I need to work on those things and you know, be responsible for those things. But what I understand as a husband is that I have been called to lead my family according to the word of God and to love my wife unconditionally. And so I'm going to do that. And character is I'm focused on being what God wants me to be in spite of what may be going on in my life. So I'm not going to be driven by the other things that are happening in my life. It's being a parent who says, my job is to raise my children, as the Bible says, in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So whatever the world is doing, whatever other influences there are, other voices I'm hearing, I'm focused as a parent on, because I have character, I'm focused on doing with those kids what God wants me to do with them. In a job environment, it's understanding the Bible says, whether you eat or drink, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. So I may have a boss that I don't like. Maybe my work situation is less than desirable. Practically or pragmatically, there are things I can do about that. I can find a new job. I can do other things. But while I'm in that environment, my job is still to do what God wants me to do, which is live in a way, function in a way, work in a way that brings glory to Him. And really, that's what character is. It's saying, like you said, I've pre-decided to do what God wants me to do, regardless of what else may be happening in the world around me.
Right. And I would add to that, what, like, for example, Peter, the Apostle Peter, he was married.
Yeah.
And he said he has a lot to say about how to deal with your wife. And one of the things that I'm always reminded of is to live with her in an understanding way. Yeah. Well, what does that mean?
Right.
That means a lot of things, and we'll never figure out, men will never figure out comprehensively how a woman functions.
Right.
But if I'm going to live with her in an understanding way, then that moves me to do things when I'm wrong. That moves me to do things when I'm right.
Yeah.
That moves me to value her opinion.
Right.
That moves me to do a lot of things according to God's word, and that brings Him glory. Now, I think the tendency for guys who come through our program have a situation going on at home, I think they naturally are bent to do something to get a reaction from her. when the reality is they need to do something for that reason.
This is where someone says, I tried to do right. I tried to fix it. She didn't respond well. So forget it. That's what you're saying.
That's right. Yeah.
When really the motivation is, I did right because it's right, and because God tells me in the Bible that I should operate this way.
That's right. So
whether she responds to that in the right way or not.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So when I went home from Mighty Oaks, man, there were so many things that if I had to put it a list of things that I'd done wrong to things that I've done right, what I mean to say by that is that all these things often had a lot of weight on how I would move forward. Mm-hmm. I had to stop looking at those things.
Yeah.
I had now come to this point in my life that God's word was this light that would shed out all the darkness.
Yeah.
And that's what I was committed to. I was committed to getting to know this God who made me for that reason and not to get a reaction from her.
That's
now,
great.
Initially, I realized that she was treating me based on how I gave her the direction to treat me.
Right. How you had been.
Right. Broken promises, just deal with certain situations in a really wrong way. So it took some time for her to really see that I was committed to this new way of life.
Yeah.
But the moment that she saw that I was really committed, and the way I know how that happened was she started to behave really in the way that I was behaving, not realizing that, man, yeah, I need a lead.
Yeah.
Well, I needed a lead in asking for forgiveness. I needed a lead in forgiving. I needed a lead in making good decisions at home. Like,
sure.
I needed a lead.
Sure.
And it often, it was a bumpy road.
Yeah.
But because of this predecision of doing what the Bible says I know was right, eventually she caught on to that.
Yeah.
So I think the mistake a lot of people make is go home to do something just to get a reaction, and that's not right.
Yeah, I'm going to do the right thing, but if she doesn't respond to it, then I'm done.
That's right.
I tried.
That's right.
Yeah, well, there's a bigger reason. Mm-hmm. The bigger reason is because you as an individual were created by God to align to His will, which is found in Scripture.
That's right.
And whether your wife, your kids, your boss, whoever responds to that right or not doesn't change your responsibility. Mm-hmm. So with all that said, we can spend a lot of time talking about that. What are a few things that you would say if you want to build character in your life or have character built in your life, here are some things that you need to do or some ways that you need to think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say, first of all, if you don't know what a relationship with Christ is, find somebody who does and learn about that. Second of all, read the Bible.
Right.
I mean, it's just as simple as that.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to sit here and say you're going to understand it comprehensively. You're going to get to know everything that's in there. No, but begin to read the Bible. Make a habit of that.
That's good.
Then I would say go find a church, a local church that where you can find someone to hold you accountable. Here's the thing I think has to do, like, a lot of people don't understand that accountability has so much to do with character, because I know that I'm going to have to face a brother of mine, and he's going to ask me about my life.
Right.
And what good is it for me not to be honest about what's happening?
Yeah, that's right.
So part of that will hold me accountable
in
how I'm acting at home and in other places. So I would say, you know, this relationship with Christ, if you don't have one, go find somebody who does and ask about it.
Figure it out.
Yeah. And in the Bible, read it and find a church. And then with the intention of sitting under some good leadership and guidance from that pastor, but also to find somebody to hold you accountable to this life you're going to commit to.
Yeah, because the reality is we are fallible and we're human and broken. Mm-hmm. And as much as we want to say, I will do what God wants me to do, there will be times we just don't feel like it, or we've been hurt, or we don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
And having someone else speak in your life and go, hey, remember that time you made that decision? Or this is what God wants you to do, that accountability. I said this last week, accountability could be the key that unlocks the door to success in your life, because success is, you know, your ability to pursue God and do His will, because that's the thing that will keep you on track when nothing else will.
Mm-hmm.
Character and accountability. Yeah, that's fantastic. Very good. We could talk about this for a lot longer, but I appreciate your thoughts, insights. even though you were in the Navy.
I was.
You do have a lot of good things to say.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. For those of you that are listening and watching, thank you for doing so. This is the March or Die show, and I've spent a lot of time talking about what that phrase means. I'll tell you this, when the bullets in life are flying, and it would be easier to stay where you are and die than to march, to push forward, if you are not a person of character and someone who has been actively pursuing a life of character, you're probably going to take the easy way out. You're going to do the thing that is expedient, but not the thing that God created you to do, the thing that God created you to accomplish. Understand character, and you will be able to march when it would be easier to die. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. We will talk to you next time.
I'm Dr. Lauren DeVille, a practicing naturopathic physician in Tucson, Arizona. In my podcast, Christian Natural Health, my guests and I discuss topics ranging from nutrition, sleep, hormone balancing, and exercise to specific health concerns like hair loss, anxiety, and hypothyroidism. I'll also interweave biblical principles as they apply throughout the podcast because true health is body, mind, and spirit. Listen to Christian Natural Health for free at lifeaudio.com or on your favorite podcast platform.